Today on Real Life Radio.
When the Christian prays in a diligent way, diligence produces confidence when we pray. If we stay at prayer, God's going to answer, builds more confidence.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, How a Christian Prays. You know, our series on the book of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke the physician could really do. Here now we continue in chapter 11. We'll consider how prayer is our line of communication with the Father. God established prayer to communicate with us. You see, persistent prayer in the life of the believer is vital. A dialogue from our hearts to God's heart with a daring willingness and a confidence that He's going to answer. So today, on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the Christian prays with expectation, trusting in God that when we ask for bread, He's not going to give us a stone. Still, there are things that God wants us to have that we'll never know if we don't ask. Before we get into today's message, I want to let you know that if you struggle with evidence that God exists, I've got to point you to a current featured resource, Evidence That Demands a Verdict. It's by Josh and Sean McDowell, and it's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Now with his message called, How a Christian Prays, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Jesus is saying, when you go to pray, pray craving, longing, and stay at it. Don't give up. Why, is God deaf? No. Do you really want what you're asking for? We can pray with hope. Not only that, verse 9 we learn, diligently we can pray because it causes anticipation. When we pray diligently to the Lord, we can pray and have anticipation about it. He uses the word seek. Seek and you will find. You ought to underline will. Look at this. Seek and you might find. Nope. Seek and you could find. No. Seek and if you're lucky, you'll find. Oh, no. Seek and you will find. The word seek is escalating up from the word ask. The word seek is this. Again, in the Greek present tense, keep seeking over and over again by how? Hunting, stalking, and searching it out. It's a hunting term. You know that great scene, that brilliant, manly scene of Elmer Fudd hunting the rabbit? Shh, he says, I'm hunting rabbit. He's seeking, hunting, he's prowling for it. That's the word seek. You not only ask, keep on asking, 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 craving. You take the craving of what you're seeking the Lord about this way by hunting after it. This is wild wording. We are to passionately pursue the Lord. Sometimes I like what Warren Wiersbe says. He says, sometimes we pray a prayer, we're not even paying attention to the prayer we're praying. So then how will we know in the day when God answers the prayer that we prayed for, if we weren't paying attention, if the answer comes, how will we ever know? Oh God, amen, I gotta get my coffee, go to work. And then God answers the prayer that you're blabbing, you weren't even aware of it. God answers, how can you thank Him when you don't even know what you prayed for? Oh, you know, God, get me to work on time. You're not even thinking because you're thinking about the oven or you're thinking about something else or the basketball game. And then God answers your prayer. You don't even know how to thank Him. Intelligent prayer, diligent prayer, anticipating in prayer. Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, Jesus says, believe that you'll receive them and you'll have them. Wow, that's praying with anticipation, isn't it? Don't you want, look, if you're sick, the last thing you want to do is have somebody come up and pray for you. Oh, I'm sick. Will you pray for me? Yeah, sure. God, we know you heal. I mean, we read about it in the Bible. I've never seen it personally. A lot of people get sick. It's no big deal that my brother's sick here. So, I don't know, God, I guess, you know, do whatever you want to do. And, you know, amen. Oh, boy. Look, if that's how you pray, do not pray for me. In fact, you want the best prayers ever? Like little Chloe. You get the little ones like that to pray for you. Listen, I, no matter what happens, I will succeed if the children's ministry is praying for me. You know why? They're so cool. God, Father, Lord, huh? Persistent and believing. Bless Pastor Jack. You think God's going to say to those little ones, no, not today. You know what? He may be upset with me. I think he'll still bless me for them. He's so good. Anticipation. We can anticipate when we pray. Now watch this. When we pray, and you guys have done this. When we pray, we'll even check the time. Father, we're asking you now. Remember, we've prayed like this before. Lord, we're asking you right now at 10:30. Why? Because we're praying with anticipation and confidence. When the Christian prays in a diligent way, diligence produces confidence when we pray. If we stay at prayer, God's going to answer, builds more confidence. Knock. He uses a more intense word even still. Knock and it will be open to you. What an amazing thing. The word knock here means, the best word, it's kind of a funny word for us in this day and age, but the word means to rap. The word knock is the word rap. I'm not talking about singing a song. I'm talking about when you just knocking, you're rapping on that door. Somebody may say, will you quit your rapping? What is it? That's what Jesus is using the word. Knock, 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 knock. Neighbor, open up. Knock, 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 knock. I mean, just driving you crazy. Jesus says, knock like that in your prayers. I'm convicted. How often do I do this? How often do you do this? Now, I know if we took time to go through everyone's story, I can tell you, maybe a couple of times in my life, I know I prayed like that. I was really sick one time for a long time. I remember praying like that. I was in a crisis, so I prayed like this. I remember when Ashley was 8 months old. She was at St. Jude's Hospital. They put her in quarantine, and the pediatric hematologist came out to us and said, there's about a 50% chance that she'll survive tonight. What? Oh, you'll pray like this. You'll knock the door of heaven down when you're desperate enough. Have you been desperate like that before? A brother in our church, a wonderful usher in our church, just lost his son, killed in an accident. Family distraught. You pray like that. I'm just so glad that our God is big in the difficulties. You say, Jack, I've never prayed like that before. Sit, listen to him. When he gives you something, you'll start praying like this. So that when the crisis comes, you'll know how to pray. Church, I got to tell you something. And I am praying in confidence for this. I believe this is going to happen. It's not because I drummed it up. In fact, the whole thought came at a very depressing time for me. But I highly encourage you to pray, ask, keep on asking. Seek, keep on seeking, knock, keep on knocking. Why? Because you guys know that when I prepared for that 7-week-long study on exposing Islam in America, I got so depressed. You want to get depressed? Read the Quran. I mean to tell you, you'll get depressed. I was so depressed and gave those studies and I was so down. And then the Lord began to strengthen my heart in the Word, the Bible. All right, okay, great. And I got to tell you something. I went and bought recently a little journal. I encourage you to do that. Guys, we're not prone to journaling. And I don't even think I'm actually journaling. But you know what? God, I'm asking you to revive America, revive the church, send revival. And then you date it. July 22nd, 2007. And then I'm waiting for the answer. Number one, I believe I'm praying in accordance with God's will. He wants to do it. Number two, we need it. We need it badly, right? When you start praying like that, oh God, send revival, please, we need it. And then you start listening to the news and you start seeing what's going on in the community. You start seeing what's happening in the world. And it feeds one another. Instead of getting depressed, God, we qualify for revival. We're messed up. We need help. The government can't save us. Nothing can save us. God, you can do it. God, please. And then you start asking, you start seeking, and you start knocking. And you're going to know when we start knocking, because I'm not going to knock by myself. As a church, we're going to get together in the next few months, and we're going to start knocking on the door of heaven. God, hear our cry. hear our prayer, and we're going to seek him. And I believe he's going to answer. We can pray like that with confidence.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And finally, under this point, the Christian prays with diligence, verse 10, because diligence creates assurance. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be open. What an awesome thing. Jesus is saying, you ask, cry out, seeking, knocking, the answer is going to come. Comfort's going to come. Relief will come. Do you see that in your life? Look, you guys, the letters are written in red. How do you get away from that? It's there. I mean, you got to look at that. For everyone who asks. And so it's incumbent upon you and I. We're the ones that have to ask. So we ask. But again, how desperate we are and how hungry are we and how sure are we? You might say to me, Jack, are you asking us to bug God? No, God cannot be bugged. I'll give you two pictures. One I'll give you right now and the second one I hope I remember. When my wife Lisa used to work for Pastor Chuck Smith at Calvary Costa Mesa. And she'd see the people coming into his office. There are appointments, you know. I mean, there was stuff that came in. Pastor Chuck, Billy Graham's on the phone. Can you imagine? People coming in from all over the world. Appointments. You know who didn't have an appointment? They didn't need one. The cars would pull up, or the van would pull up, and kids would climb out. Little ones. You know who they were? His grandkids. And it didn't matter if the Pope was in his office. The kids, the little ones blow right past the counter, right past the pastors, right past the front office secretaries. The door flies open. And I saw this once in my life sitting in his office. The door flies open. The kids come in. It looks like ants. They come in on the desk, sitting on his lap, putting M&Ms on the top of his head. Skittles all over the... He's loving it. The kids are completely just out of control having a ball. It didn't matter if you're in the office or not. You were not his grandkid. The grandkids arrived. And it's the office, this very holy, solemn place. The door flies open. Papa, papa! All this mayhem goes on. Why? The kids came in. When we pray, that's how it's supposed to be like that. When we pray, the door flies wide open. We come right up into the Father's lap. Didn't you get that last week when Jesus said, when you come, say, Abba, Papa, Father? Run in there with this audacity. You run in. It's amazing. Secondly, in my mind, to ask, to seek, and to knock like this, to stay at it. This story is not so lofty, but it's practical. I remember, you guys, I don't know if your children are afraid of the dark, or if they're afraid of the wind. I used to be really scared of the wind when I was a little kid. It used to freak me out. And when the Santa Ana winds used to blow, we didn't get them so bad in Orange County, but they would blow enough. I would think, the tree is talking. The tree out there in the something. Look, listen, what's coming from there? And you can't get out of bed, because you can't. That's like the international rule. You can't get out of bed in the night, because you're scared. Everybody's sleeping. Now the wind's blowing. Okay, so it's like this. Dad? Down the hallway. Dad? Dad? What? Is the house locked up? It's locked. Go to sleep. It's midnight. Dad? Dad? What? Is the dog in? Yes, the dog's in the house. All right. Well, you're scared. You want assurance from down the hallway. Dad, what is it? Oh, nothing. Why do you pursue? Because you want assurance. You want comfort. You want to hear the voice. We do that in life. As long as we do that for assurance, going to the Lord. Comforting. Wonderful. third and final point this morning, verses 11 to 13, how a Christian prays should be with expectation. We are to be praying with expectation. And that is by trusting the Father. Verses 11 and 12, Jesus said, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Well, no. If he asks for fish, will he give him a serpent? Can you imagine? Can I have a fish sandwich? Yeah, here's a snake. Suck on this for a while. The guys are laughing. They're going, Peter, isn't that funny? Nobody gives a kid a snake. What's he talking about? This is funny. The kid asks for something, you give him a snake. This is ridiculous, Jesus. What are you doing this for? He's getting their attention. Your kid asks for an egg? You want to give him a scorpion? Hey, watch this. No. What a ridiculous thought. Jesus is exploding the scene in their minds to get it across to them. Why do we tiptoe and so cowardly with unbelief pray? Jesus is saying, go for it. It's a very sad day when people, Christians maybe even say, well, you know what? We begin to pray for Uncle Bob. People start thinking, when you begin to pray, it's that bad? Like, you mean it's reached such cataclysmic proportions that you have now begun to pray? Oh, my goodness. And people get on the phone. You know what? It must be bad. They're praying. It should never be like that. It should never be like that. It should be natural. Oh, they're praying. Hey, let's pray. Can I pray? It encourages people. Why? We can trust our Father. He's not going to give us something weird. Hey, Jack, pray. Watch, Gabriel. I'm going to send a lightning bolt. We can trust him. And then finally this, receiving the Spirit. Church, all of a sudden, this is, in fact, verse 13, circle it in your Bible. You can write in the margins. This has driven theologians nuts for 2,000 years. Verse 13. It's absolutely amazing. Up until now, what do you think this message is about? What do you think Jesus is talking about? Praying? Well, you can certainly argue that. Yeah, I guess it's about praying. How about being persistent? Maybe it's about teaching us to be persistent. Yes, you could argue that too. In fact, if you argued that in your class in seminary, you'd probably get an A. But there's a troubling verse at the end that throws a curve to everybody who's studying and everyone who's listening. Jesus sums up the whole thing. If you then, being evil, he's not insulting them. He's saying, if you guys are just mere humans and know what to do that's good, to give good gifts to your kids, how much more will your heavenly Father give you bread? Give you eggs? Give you what? Give you the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Okay, now wait, what? Where did that come from? Right out of nowhere, Jesus sums up the whole pursuit of, watch, asking, keep on asking. Seeking, keep on seeking. Knocking, keep on knocking for an answer. And we could fill in the blank and say, whatever answer you need. In this case, Jesus gives the illustration, the man needs bread. Ah, but Jesus ties it in beautifully and very romantically by saying, I tell you what, you pursue God like this. When you ask him for the Holy Spirit, and you're going to get him. Now, right now, this is going to cause your denominational persuasion to go crazy in your head. You just need to sit still. We're just about done. But don't miss this moment. If you walk out now, you're just going to be dumb the rest of your life. Because this is very, this is very important. I'm not even going to tell you I'm going to give you what he's saying. And then you can make up your own answer if you want to. It's your business. But here it is. He inserts the Holy Spirit. He's talking to those who already believe in him. We're reading the words right now. Number one, what do we know? 1 Corinthians chapter 12 teaches us that the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit moves inside you and baptizes you, not in water. The Spirit of God baptizes you into the body of Christ, and you're in the family of God. By the way, the word in the Greek is once and for all. One time he does it. He only has to do it once. Okay, you got that? Everybody got that? Yeah. These guys got it. Do you have it over here? Okay, these guys have it. Do you have it over here?
Yeah.
I'm joking. I'm just kidding. You guys fell for it. I accepted Christ. The Holy Spirit moved inside of me. Great. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, by that I'm sealed unto the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. Great. What's Jesus talking about? Something completely different. He assumes already the Spirit of God is going to be dwelling within those who are reading, hearing, that are believers. He's talking about the Holy Spirit coming upon you. To indwell in the Greek is the word en. It's to be in. En means to be in. It means to be indwelling, internal, inside. The word that Jesus is speaking about, the Holy Spirit, Paul talked about it in Ephesians chapter 5, and there's Book of Acts and other places, the Holy Spirit to come, epi in Greek, upon you. Remember when the disciples were together praying on the day of Pentecost? From John chapter 20 onward, they had the Holy Spirit in them. But in the day of Pentecost, they were praying and the Holy Spirit came, what, in them or? Exactly. Came upon them. And the scripture says that whenever, for example, the apostles prayed or the disciples prayed to receive or have upon them the Holy Spirit, they spoke the word of God with boldness, or they went out and they witnessed, or they sent the missionaries out to Asia or Turkey or whatever it might be. Are you with me? Do you understand that? This is what Jesus is talking about. You pursue God, asking him, listen, every day for power, victory over temptation, ability to witness, opportunities to share God, to love on people you don't like. That's a miracle. God does that. To make your life count. To get above it all in Christ and to not be troubled by the menial things of this world. Jesus said, you pray like that? Always asking, 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 asking. Always seeking, 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 seeking. Always what? Knocking, knocking, knocking. For if you do this, your Father who loves you so much and has listened all the time and is very attuned to what you need and he's wanting to give you the power of the Spirit all the time, any moment. He's not like men of earth who take constant, you have to pull on them and say, Mommy, Mommy, Mommy. No, 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 no. Ask, stay at it until you get the answer. And when you pray today, oh God, fill me like this with the Spirit of God for victory as a Christian. God heard you. You thank him and you get up and you live your life and you watch what happens to your life. Christian, I'm just talking to the Christian. You pray that today. We're going to pray it in a second. And you expect God to answer. Jesus said, when you pray, pray believing that you'll receive. And you receive, right? You don't have to knock the door down. Ask him. Are you ready? Hang on. Put your seatbelt on. We're going to ask him right now. Father, we come before you. And Lord, we ask. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus Christ that we all as believers, as we seek you now, Lord, we are knocking together and we're asking you, Father, to fill us afresh with the power of your Holy Spirit. Lord, that temptation would be conquered in our lives. And Lord, that those things that have been dogging us, because, Lord, we look to the powering and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we're praying for victory now. Lord, we pray that by the power of your Spirit, you'd take away the fear that's in our lives. Maybe the insecurities. Maybe the decision-making. Give me clarity. Give us clarity. Give us wisdom. Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name that we who are believers this morning would experience from this moment onward and as we ask daily for the renewing power of your Holy Spirit, that you would, Lord, do things through us that could not be done any other way. And then, Father, right now, I pray for those who may not know you at all, that you would not let them sleep tonight. Keep them awake. As the Holy Spirit would hound you to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to have your sins forgiven, your sins blotted out of the book, your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and to be on your way to heaven. You have to accept Christ, and may you hear the Spirit calling you today. Believer, receive the power of the Holy Spirit. And may we go in the strength of our great God and Savior. And all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, How a Christian Prays. You know, this message is part of our series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, when you think about it, God didn't really have to make anything. But when he spoke and everything was created, there was no magic or illusion. And we, being made in his image, as the Bible says, It's safe to say that He really loves us, and He wants us to have a personal relationship with Him. So, if you want to get to know the God who created you, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, that's jackhibbs.com, and click on that tab that's labeled Know God, K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, you're going to find out how a truly personal and remarkable relationship with God is actually possible. Remember, you are not here by accident, and God really does love you and care about you. Get that. Again, our resource is called Know God, spelled out K-N-O-W-G-O-D, and you'll find that at jackhibbs.com, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.